Right. We'll open up with me to 2 Timothy. We are in chapter 2, and last time, a few weeks back, we finished at verse 19, so we're picking it up in verse 20 tonight. We'll see what comes out of this, how far we get. While you guys are turning there, just a couple quick reminders slash announcements, whatever you want to call it. Tomorrow at noon, we're going to be praying once again in the building right behind the sanctuary here. Always a blessed time. We take an hour or so on Thursday and just lift things up to the Lord. So I'd love for you to come join us if you can. And then also, I didn't announce this Sunday, but some of you guys may have saw it. We just got a new batch of gospel tracts of the 10,000 that we get with all the church stuff on the back. And so encourage you guys to consider grabbing some packs of those and pass them out. I really like this one. It's just based on the fact that works won't save you. It's only Jesus. And I think that's like the sixth time we've done that. So between that and those other ones that we get, I mean, I think in the last few years, we've distributed about 100,000 tracts from this fellowship, which is minus the ones that are sitting in your glove box, of course. But I know it happens. But anyway, that's just a cool thing. I mean, it's such a simple way of sharing the gospel with someone or leaving it with a waitress or a, you know, a fast food guy that drive through. Not that any of you guys do that, eat fast food or, you know, wherever. I mean, just a real simple way to spread the gospel. So I encourage you to grab some of those things, and it's nice to have them available. And the cool thing is on the back, you can invite someone to church and, you know, just sometimes in just conversations, seed planting and so forth. So anyway, it's a good thing, and I'm glad those are out there and hope that God uses them for his glory. So here we are again, 2 Timothy, and just real quick, we know what this epistle's about as we've been going through it. Paul here, remember, he's at the end of his ministry. It'd be the last epistle that he would write. He's in prison. It'd be soon after he penned this letter that he'd be beheaded for the gospel of Jesus Christ. There's persecution on the church. There's pressure from without, from the Jews and Gentiles, for them not to preach Christ. You know, they're in the place where they don't confess Caesar as Lord, but Jesus is Lord. There's persecution. There's persecution as well from you know, the Jews, you know, those that have not come to Christianity, on that the remnant of Jews that have come to Christ, and now the Gentiles are getting saved. There's persecution from them. And the church already early on is being infiltrated with false teachers, false doctrines popping up and so forth. And last time we talked about a couple of them that had been teaching that the resurrection had already passed and how it was shipwrecking people's faith. And so here's Timothy, this man that, you know, Paul has invested a lot in, and Paul's been a spiritual father to him and has raised him up to be a pastor there in Ephesus. And Timothy's shrinking back a bit with all this going on. I mean, you can say Timothy's world's being rocked, so to speak. And Paul starts out this epistle, remember, in telling him, we haven't been given a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. And reminding Timothy, listen, you have the Holy Spirit of God. And whatever God calls you to do, he'll empower you to do it. And throughout the epistle, you know, Paul's been encouraging him, you know, don't be fearful and don't be ashamed of my chains. And you know what? You got to go for it. We basically, he's telling him we live once and we need to live for the Lord. And giving him all these exhortations to him to encourage him. And listen, we need those exhortations and those encouragements. And we need them from the scriptures. And that's why it's so important. We got a devotional life and we're in the Word of God. And we're having our minds renewed and we're taking thoughts captive, because listen, this age that they were living in then, you know, in a lot of ways, it's reflective of the day we're living in now. Maybe not as extreme in the sense of the imprisonment and so forth, at least in this nation, but a lot of pressure on us today to shrink back from proclaiming truth and the gospel and calling sin, sin, and that Jesus is the only way and so forth. And so we need these encouragements. And remember, in the course of this, Paul's also encouraging Timothy to invest in others, to raise up men that, you know, men of faith who will take this message, take the gospel out and all of it. He's saying, listen, you know what? Move forward. Remember, he's telling him, be a Christian soldier. The Lord enlisted you. Serve him and honor him. Your time's short. And so with that kind of the overview, that reminder, as we've been a few weeks away from this with Christmas Eve and then the New Year's prayer meeting last week, you know what, we come back with that reminder of kind of the overview of the book. And then in the passage right before we are tonight, Paul was kind of focusing in on some false teachers in that day that I already mentioned, and were teaching the resurrection already passed, and you know, was telling Timothy to contend for the faith concerning them. And now tonight here, as we come here to the end of chapter 2, the focus kind of comes back upon on Timothy and the body of Christ itself and being used of the Lord. And in particular, you know what, talking to them about the fact that, you know what, we're in a great house. Is Jesus your Lord and Savior tonight? Can you say amen to that? That we are members of a great house. And that's pretty cool to consider. It's the greatest house because it's God's house. And yet we'll read this here in a second. He says, listen, there's vessels of honor and vessels of dishonor in every house. And it's the same in God's house. And encouraging them to be vessels of honor and to be useful in the master's hands. So we're going to talk about this and what this means and so forth. And I think there's great encouragement for us here and exhortation and maybe even rebuke tonight that we may need correction, we may need. So let's read verse 20 down through 26 and we'll dive into this and we'll see how far we get into it. So in verse 20 he says, but in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay, some for honor and some for dishonor. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from the latter, he will be a vessel for honor, sanctified and useful for the master, prepared for every good work. Flee youthful lust, but pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. But avoid foolish and ignorant disputes, knowing that they generate strife. He kind of goes back to the false teachers and dealing with them in verse 23 we just read there. And a servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be gentle to all, able to teach, patient in humility, correcting those who are in opposition, if God perhaps will grant them repentance so that they may know the truth and that they may cause them to come to their senses. And notice, listen to what it says here. Escape the snare of the devil, having been taken captive by him to do his will. What a horrible place to be in, but it's basically a description of those that are outside of Christ. But going back to verse 20 again, he says, but in a great house, there's vessels of gold and silver, wood and clay, some for honor and some for dishonor. And you know what? Want to just start here by considering the fact that, again, the body of Christ is a great house. And I think this is something for us to consider and to step back and ask what makes it so great. And because that is the context that he's being talked about. The great house, the body of Christ. And again, if you're in Christ tonight, if you've trusted him as your Lord and Savior, and again, we're saved, you know what, by grace alone, through faith alone, in Jesus alone. It's nothing that we do that saves us. It's what he's done for us. And if you've trusted in him, you know what, he's your Lord and Savior. He's the God of your life. You're a member of that house. And it is a great house. And I was just thinking about this and considering, and I think this is something that could go on and on, but you know, first of all, I just think it's worthy tonight to remember that it's a great house, but to start thinking about this right off the bat, it's beyond great to know that you're in the house. Especially if you go back down to verse 26 and remember that before we came to Christ, we were in the snare of the devil. And whether we knew it or not, we were doing his will. And that's just the fact of the matter. So what a glorious thing to know that we are in that great house, and what makes it awesome that we're in it, what makes it great that we're in it is, first of all, that being in it means that you're not outside of it. So the fact that you're in it means that you're right with the living God. And we all know here tonight, or if we don't know, we need to know that the only way into that house of God, again, is through Jesus and what he's done. You know, what put us outside of that house? What separated man from God in the beginning? It was man's sin. It was man when he said, I'll be my own God. I'll eat of that tree. I'll become a God. And little did he know, all he was doing was bending knee to the God of this world, Satan, and becoming ensnared by the devil. And yet God in his goodness promised a Savior who would come. And we know Jesus fulfilled those Old Testament prophecies. And you know, through one man sin came, and through one man righteousness has come. As Jesus died in our place, took the wrath due us upon himself and resurrected from the dead and defeated sin and death and Satan. And when you humbled your heart and said, Lord, I want to turn from my sin. I want to turn from being my own Lord. Jesus, I want you to be my Lord and my Savior, my God. When you called on his name, listen, he washed you of your sin and he wrote your name in the Lamb's Book of Life. And he said, enter into my house through the door, through Jesus Christ, the door. And what a glorious thing to know. I mean, that in itself makes it a great house. And then to know you're in that house and you're forgiven, that God's washed you of your sin, that he separated it as far as the east is from the west. What a glorious thing. And, you know, what a glorious thing to know that we're in right standing with him. What a glorious thing to know that we're saved from hell. If you're in that house, if you're in Christ, if he's your refuge, then you're saved from eternal damnation. The wrath of God no longer rests upon you. You've been washed. You're seen through the blood of the Lamb. And then to know in that house that all of the promises of God are there for you. His promises are yes and amen. And we have opportunity to take up our cross, to walk in the Spirit, and to abound in those fruits that the Spirit of God has for us. We need to do that, but it's available to us. And so that right at the bat, I mean, what a great house. And you know, just the fact that the house itself, it's great because it's God's house. And it's the only thing that's right with God on the face of this earth, really, when you get down to it, that men are a part of. The house of God, the true church, those that are truly born again. I mean, we're in right standing with the living God. We have his seal upon us. And it's a great house in that it's an eternal house. The houses come and go. They get built, and then eventually they get broke down. I don't care how good it's built by men. Eventually a house will tumble down. And everything on this earth is going to tumble down. But to know that you're part of the eternal house of God, and to know that we will rule and reign with him forever, and to know that we have every blessing in the heavenlies bestowed upon us, to know that he became poor so that we could be rich. You know what, not talking about monetary things that necessarily that will come and go. The Lord wants you to be rich in that. He'll do what he wants to do. But the fact to know that you're in right standing with the living God, Jesus said, what's the profit of man if he gains the whole world and loses a soul? So we're in a great house tonight. That should be a pick-me-up to anyone that came in here tonight that knows Christ with your head hanging down. We're in a great house. And on top of all this, it's a great house. And not only is it a great house, but it's built on the greatest foundation. Because it's built on the Lord Jesus Christ. And it will never falter, it will never waver, it will never fall. I love what Paul says there in 1 Corinthians 3:9, and it kind of segues into what he says here next in 2 Timothy 2:20. But he says there in 1 Corinthians 3:9, for we are God's fellow workers and you are God's field. You are God's building. So we're not only in the house, but we're part of the house. According to the grace of God, which was given to me, a wise master building, I have laid the foundation and another builds on it. But let each one take heed of how he builds on it. For no other foundation can be laid than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. And so the foundation is Jesus Christ. And your faith is in Christ, then you are upon the rock, you are in the rock, and now you are even part of the house being built upon the rock. And notice verse 12, he says, now if anyone builds on this foundation with gold, silver, and precious stones, wood, hay, and straw, each one's work will become clear. For the day will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test each one's work of what sort it is. If anyone's work which he has built on it endures, he will receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned, he will suffer loss, but he himself will be saved, yet is so through the fire. So again, we're in the house through Jesus Christ, through what he has done. That's the only thing that's going to get you in the house, get you on the rock, get you in the building, and make you part of the building. And we're saved through what he has done. But hopefully once we're in the house, we want to be a vessel of honor in the master's hand in the house. And that's what Paul's talking about here in Timothy. And basically here in Corinthians, he's saying, listen, you're saved through what Jesus has done. But remember, again, we were saved by grace through faith, not of works, lest we should boast. But it goes on to say there in Ephesians 2:10, but we were saved unto good works. And listen, if Christ came and died for us to save us, and he's our Lord and Savior, we've been enlisted into the Lord's army. Remember, he says someone enlisted into the army does not entangle himself with the affairs of this world, but he wants to be about his commander's business. And this is encouragement and a call to us to say, listen, I'm in the house. It's settled. I'm born again. I'm in Christ. Amen? But now that I'm in it, I want to be a useful vessel in the master's hands. And here in Corinthians, Paul talks about this foundation, and he says, listen, you've been given time, you've been given talents and so forth. Each one's work will become clearer. Are you serving the Lord? Are you living for him? Because that will be tested, that will be judged. That's talked about a lot in Scripture. And going back here to Timothy, our text here, he says, in a great house, and we're in the great house. Know that tonight. Listen, in Christ Jesus, you're a part of the greatest institution on the face of the earth. It is the pillar of truth. As much as it may even be mocked and spat upon, and all the more and more being isolated and being told you need to stop and so forth, we still are the salt and light of the earth, and the Lord's told us to occupy until he comes. And you need to know that tonight. You need to know who you are in Christ. But he says, in this great house, there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but of wood and clay, some for honor and some for dishonor. Now, listen, the emphasis here isn't upon that, you know what, some of us are called to dirty jobs and some of us aren't. Because you think of a vessel of honor of gold and silver, this would be the picture of practically in a house. You know, we just had several holidays, Thanksgiving and Christmas and New Year's and so forth. And I would imagine it maybe some of those meals that you were at or you hosted and you had people over. I maybe you did, but probably most people didn't take out the paper plates at Thanksgiving if you had some nicer dishes. You know, those ones that are, you know, they don't get touched for the most part. Then you have something like that and you bring out. That's the picture of a vessel of honor. And you're saying this is an honorable thing. We put it aside and we use it for special occasions, and it's valuable to us. And it's valuable for maybe a greater purpose. And then, you know what, there's vessels of dishonor, wood and clay that you could say, well, you know what, you got that gold and silver you bring out for those special meals, and then the wood and clay, you know, that's what you make your toilets and ashtrays out of and so forth. But again, the emphasis here isn't on the fact that the gold and silver is you know, it used in more of a clean way, and the wood and clay is used in a dirty way. Because listen, all ministry, if you're ministering unto the Lord, is going to be dirty. You realize that? We're sinners saved by grace. This is a hospital here. You know, sometimes people say, oh, you're a pastor. I don't want to offend you in telling you this. Listen, I've heard it all. And I came out of a whole lot of it myself. Oh, are you ready for this? You don't know what's been uttered in even the walls of this building and outside of it, of what people go through and struggle with. Listen, we're all just sinners saved by grace, and others coming to Christ in this place. And hopefully we're getting equipped to take the gospel outside of this place. It's all going to be dirty. Listen, we're right with the Lord positionally, practically. We are all a work of progress in this room. And we got the sin that so easily entangles, and sometimes we come limping in and it's stuck to the bottom of our shoe. So the emphasis isn't here on the dirty job and one's for a dirty task and the other's for more a clean task. You know, if you looked at a holiday meal versus a toilet or an ashtray or something like that. But the emphasis here is there in verse 21. He says, therefore, if anyone cleanses himself of the latter, he'll be a vessel of honor, sanctified and useful for the master, prepared for every work. So what it goes back to is the master having some things that are more useful to him than other things. And listen, the truth is, in the body of Christ, there are some people that are more available and useful for the work of the cause of the building of the kingdom of God than others. It doesn't make them any more saved than the other person. Listen, if you're in Christ Jesus tonight, you're as saved as anyone in this room, because the only thing that saves us is the blood of the Lamb. And if you think it's a little bit of you, then you better be careful, because you're headed towards a false gospel. Go read the book of Galatians. It's only Jesus. What's required? Perfection. And none of us are perfect but Christ, who died for us. But once we are saved, what he is saying here, again, that in a great house that we are in through Christ Jesus, in that great house, there's vessels of gold and silver and vessels of wood and clay. And the vessels of gold and silver are the vessels of honor. They are useful in the master's hands, and they are already prepared for a good work. So when there is something that needs to get done, God will say, where's that vessel that is useful in my hands that I can send him or I can send her, because they are ready to be used. We're a vessel of dishonor. Again, they're saved, they're born again. It's not that God loves them any less. He doesn't. But at the same time, the word of God is practical. And if someone is walking around, again, in a manner that is dishonorable, and we'll talk more about this here in a second, or is it not in that place where they're useful in the master's hands, then guess what? They are not prepared for every good work. And they're on that foundation of the house, but they are not building on that foundation as they should be building. They are squandering their time here on earth. And listen, there's too much ministry that needs to be done to be squandering time, starting with just glorifying our God and giving him praise, which is our highest ministry. Building up the body of Christ and then taking the gospel of Jesus Christ out to a world that desperately needs to hear it. What a tragic thing, though, to be brought into the house of God, to be part of that great house, and then to squander your time here on earth in that house. And this is what Paul's telling them. And I think he's telling this a little bit to Timothy, because again, Timothy is kind of in this wavering place, but he's telling him so that he can tell others, listen, you want to be a vessel in the master's hand to be useful and prepared for every good work. Now, maybe you're here tonight and you're saying, well, I want to be that vessel of gold and silver. Hopefully we're all in that place. Hopefully we're not in the place where we're saying, well, I'm just glad I'm in the house. I don't care if I'm a wood vessel or a clay vessel. I would hope that's not your heart tonight. I hope our heart would be, listen, Jesus Christ laid down his life for me to save me. He pulled me out of the muck and the miry and the pit. And this world is passing away. And most that goes on in this world is aimless conduct. Do you know that? Someone dies and someone else just takes their place and does the same thing. They might not do it as good, or they might do it a little bit better, but they come and they go. Solomon wrestles with this with Ecclesiastes. He says, I build all this up, and I wrestle with the fact that when I die, someone else is going to have it and what they're going to do with it. Listen, we don't have an aimless conduct when we're about the Lord's business. We're about an eternal purpose. And when we're about his business, living our lives for him, it moves on into eternity, as we read there in Corinthians, eternal reward. So how am I in the place where I'm, if I'm a vessel of dishonor, can I be a vessel of honor? How does that come about? We get instruction here. In verse 21, again, he says there, if anyone... And I want to emphasize that, anyone. Listen, if you're in Christ, first of all, whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. God's not partial in that. Whoever comes to him or responds to him coming to them is going to be saved. And then from there in Christ, as we are in the house, he says, anyone. Sometimes in the body of Christ, people start to think, well, God will use them or her, and they're a vessel of honor, but I only got one gift over here, so I'm just going to chill and do my thing. I'll be about my aimless conduct, and he has some he uses, and the others he doesn't. That's nonsense. Now, he might use us in different ways, might give different talents, different gifts, and so forth, but listen, he's wanting to use everyone in the body of Christ as a vessel of honor to be useful in his hands and be prepared for every good work. Because whether you know it or not, there's divine appointments just waiting all around us. But are we going to get up and get into the place and say, Lord, use me. I want to be a vessel of honor in your hands. And so he would say, okay, then let me use you. You're prepared. I can use you to talk to that person. I can use you to minister over here. I can use you to do this task because you're already prepared and you're ready to be used. So again, the call is to everybody here, anyone. Can we receive that tonight? Let me ask you, can we say amen to that? You need to know that tonight. He doesn't say, well, if the pastors or the elders or, you know, at the worship team. He says, if anyone. If anyone, now notice here, cleanses himself from the latter. What is the latter? What is the latter? Go to verse 20. Dishonor. In verse 19, he says, let those that name the Lord Jesus depart from iniquity. So if he cleanses himself from the latter, from dishonor, he will be a vessel for honor, sanctified and useful for the master, prepared for every good work. Now notice here, there's a personal responsibility. If he cleanses himself, look at practically, for the most part in this room, probably would apply to all of us. You got to go clean your own body. I ain't going to have anything to do with that. You got to wipe the crumbs off your face. You got to shower your own body, bathe your own body. I don't want anything to do with any of it. Now, there could be a time practically where someone needs help in that, but we're not talking about that. You got to cleanse yourself practically. You have to do that. No one's going to clean you up yourself unless, you know what, you get so bad where they hold you down with a hose or something. I've seen that happen too. But he says, you got to clean yourself. There's a personal responsibility, just like as we've been in Revelation. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. I can't hear for you. A bunch of grown men and women in this room. There's a personal responsibility. We need to know that. We need to understand that. We have a responsibility as followers of Jesus Christ. Now, there is a spiritual side about this. We'll talk about it here in a second. But sometimes people so over-spiritualize everything, they remove themselves from any personal responsibility of what they do and what they say and what they look at and the things going on in their life. And that's just not the case. We got a responsibility. So if anyone who's in that great house, if he cleanses himself from the latter being the dishonorable things, the latter being the iniquity from verse 19, he will be a vessel of honor, sanctified or holy, which means to be set apart and useful in the master's hand, prepared for every good work. Now, how do I cleanse myself from dishonor? How do I cleanse myself from sin? First of all, I got to go to Jesus, amen? I mean, listen, the starting point for anything that's going to go in the right direction is going to be Jesus Christ. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I have to get in the shower, so to speak, to cleanse myself. But the thing that cleanses me is the water itself. But I got to get into the water. And I can say, well, I'm cleaning myself. Really, I'm not. The water's cleaning me. The soap's cleaning me. You know? The wet wipe or something. You know, I'm in a hurry. It's the thing cleansing me. I'm getting in the shower myself. But again, that's what's cleansing me. And it is the Lord who cleanses us. Now, again, when we got born again, positionally, we were cleansed. We've been forgiven positionally of past, present, and future sin. He sees them no more, but there is a practical side to our walk. Remember, the Lord told Peter, if you've been washed, your body doesn't need to be washed. Your feet, though, need to be. Remember when the Lord washed his feet. And our bodies are washed, but we got feet that walk around in this world and they get dirty and stinky. And sometimes we accidentally step in sin, and sometimes we go over like a mud puddle and we jumping down, up and down in it. And that needs to be washed. We got to cleanse ourselves from practical sin. Now listen, all of us in this room are going to struggle with things daily. The question is, first of all, when I struggle with it, am I going to sit in and stew in it? Or am I going to say, Lord, wash me of this and keep a short account with the living God? I would imagine that most of us in this room probably practically bathe at least once a week. Probably many of us every day. And I'm not trying to, this isn't a message on hygiene, so know this, okay? I'm using this as a practical example. You get dirty, you clean yourself off. You ever take two showers in a day? You got up and you got clean, and then you didn't know going to work your tire was going to go flat or whatever, and you got all dirty or whatever, or that kid spilt whatever on you, and then you took another one. And why did you take another one? Because you got dirty during the day. You didn't just sit in that for the next 2, 3, 4 weeks. Again, it's not a message on personal hygiene. And listen, there's some people who don't even have access to that, and they're welcome here, and you know that. But the point being is that we're in a habit. Hopefully, if you eat a sandwich and you got crumbs all over your face, you wipe it off before you eat the next one. And so we need to keep short accounts with the living God. We don't want to be in the place where I know I'm saved, so I'm just going to go sit and stew and just thumb my nose to the Lord and be over here. The heart of a believer is, I don't want to be in this place. I don't want this stuff on my feet. This grieves the work of the Spirit of God in my life. I want to honor God with my life. Lord, wash me of this. Proverbs says, a righteous man falls 7 times and rises again. He doesn't stay down. You want to be a vessel of honor in his hands? Then be in that place where you say, I want to live for the Lord. And when I fall short, I want to bring that to the Lord. And I want to give it to the Lord. And I want to get it out of my life. And if I fall over and over and over again, then over and over again, I will go to him. Because if he told Peter, you got to forgive 7 times 70, he won't tell us to do anything he won't do. He'll wash our feet over and over and over again. But again, some people, they're in Christ, but they don't want to do that. They want to just go do their own thing and walk around whatever and be part of whatever. And it's just like, not even on their mind. Jesus is an afterthought, which at that point, you might need to examine whether you are in the house or not. Because you ain't getting any chastisement over here. It says he chastised those who he loves. And I always think, you know what, a Christian, when they're in sin, can't enjoy their Savior, and they can't enjoy their sin either. So are you really enjoying walking around in that mud puddle when the conviction of the Lord's upon you? Can you really fully enjoy that sin? I know I can't. And I've been in a lot of them puddles. And I can't enjoy my Lord either. In the world, I enjoyed it. Sin's pleasurable for a season until it starts killing you. You're enjoying the puddle, then all of a sudden when you realize you're sinking down and you're about to die, it's not so enjoyable anymore. So if you cleanse yourself from the latter, that means I need to come to where the cleansing is found in Jesus Christ and say, Lord, forgive me for this dishonor. I'm not honoring you with my life. Also in this, though, again, there's a personal responsibility of saying, I want to get some of these dishonorable things out of my life. Listen, you have a choice in where you walk. You have a choice in what you put in your head and what we do and who we hang out with and how we live. Now, understanding in some occasions when workplace, something, you don't have a choice in it, but you still do have a choice whether you're going to go along with it or you're going to represent Jesus Christ. The room full of grown men and women here. You chose to come here tonight. No one forced you. If anyone did, that's cult-like, and that's weird. They might have encouraged you to come. That's fine. But we want the Spirit of God to build this place, not flesh and blood. So we have a room full of grown men and women, and we got to choose what we want to do. Galatians 6:7. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked, for whatever a man sows, he will also reap. For he who sows of the flesh will of the flesh reap corruption, but he who sows of the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. He goes on to say, and let us not grow weary and while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith. So in other words, Do you want to sow dishonorable things into your heart? Or do you want to sow honorable things in your heart? But do not be deceived. If you just go around and you keep sowing dishonorable things into your life, then you will reap dishonorable things. That's what will come out of your life. And that is not a vessel of honor. It got nothing to do with salvation. We're saved through what Jesus has done. Period. It's finished. That's it. But we've been called to walk worthy of the call of Christ. And so we got a choice. That's why it says he cleanses himself. It starts by going to the Lord. And then what are you going to do with your life? The devil may tempt you, but he can't make you do it. Romans 8:5, he who lives according to the flesh sets their mind on the things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. For the carnal mind is enmity against God, is not subjected to the law of God, nor can it be. So then those who are the flesh cannot please God. Listen, as a believer, if I just want to again sow dishonorable things in my life and be about my own thing over here and not keep short accounts with the Lord, I will not be a vessel of honor, useful in the master's hands. How can he use me when I'm continually quenching and grieving the Holy Spirit in my life? I ain't going to use that. Listen, this isn't difficult, though. If you abide in the Lord, draw near to the Lord. He knows we're flesh and blood. He ain't expecting you to be perfect. Otherwise, he wouldn't have died for you on the cross. He knows we have struggles. I mean, look at Paul's epistles where he writes these chapters on him struggling with things. And then he says, thanks be to God through Jesus Christ, you know, who saves me from these things. He understands that. This isn't some works-based thing we're looking at here. But what it comes down to is your heart and what you're choosing to put in your heart and before your mind. And you got freedom to do whatever you want in that. We have freedom in Christ, but we want to use it for the Lord. When there's a task that needs to get done for his glory, who do you think he's going to send? Someone that continually sows dishonorable things in their life, that has no regard for his word, that quenches the Spirit of God, or someone over here saying, Lord, I know I'm a screw up, but wash me of this, and I need you. I want to draw near to you and fill me with your spirit, and I want to get in the word today. He says, that's a vessel of honor I'm going to go use. You're useful in my hands. You're prepared for a good work, because before the good work came up, you prepared your heart before me, and you allowed me to prepare you for that work. And notice here he says, if anyone, there's no partiality here. If anyone, he'll be sanctified, which means, again, to be set apart. Useful for the master. Prepared for every good work. So anytime, anywhere, he's ready to go. She's ready to go. Beforehand, filled with the Spirit, rooted in truth. They're head on straight. Listen, let's just say you're coaching some team. And there's some player, they're on the team, right? It's rec ball, so you can't cut them. They're on the team. But they keep showing up late for practice. They don't work hard. They don't want to learn the rules of the game. They don't know the plays. Big difference between some kid that maybe doesn't have a lot of talent, but they show up and they work hard. They know the plays. They're there. Guess who I'm putting in the game if I'm the coach? I might have some nagging parent, but the kid that works hard will be playing. And the kid that flakes off, I know in football they got to get their 12 plays in, but that's all they're going to get until they want to shape up and say, I'm ready to be part of the team. Aren't we told here earlier in Timothy, in our walk, we're to be like Olympic athletes, like soldiers, like farmers, prepared for the work, saying, God, I want to be used by you. Again, this is no emphasis upon our righteousness or even what we can do. This is what God has done for us, and us saying, God, I want you to do more through me. The emphasis here is Jesus. And whether we're going to get near to him, and we're going to say, Lord, I want you to sow the things of the word of God. I want them sowed in my life, and I want to have honorable things in my life. This is why we're told to think on what is good in Philippians and so forth. We're to take our thoughts captive to the obedience of Christ. But listen, again, we're believers. We're saved through what he has done, and we have freedom. What are we going to do with that? I would hope we'd say, I want to be a vessel of honor. I want to be useful. I want to be useful in the master's hands, that he can say, listen, I got a job. Here's my vessel of honor. You go. And listen, if that's not your heart and mind, you need to consider this, that life is short. And I understand we have jobs and there's things, and God gives us a lot of things in our life to enjoy. But it's so easy to get in that place where your life is just a bunch of aimless conduct. That's all it is. The same things over and over and over again. Where's the Lord in it? Where's Christ in it? Where's Jesus in it? We're all in the same boat here. What are we going to do with our time? And listen, it's difficult because we're in a society that, man, this society ain't going to sow anything of the Spirit in you. You think it is? I mean, the enemy wants to try to sow some foul spirits, but it's a jungle out there. Real quickly, we'll come back to this next week, and this is verse 22. I mean, we're going to spend some time on this because we're in a lust-filled society. But notice he says, flee youthful lust, but pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace with those who call on the name of the Lord. And so again, it goes back to cleansing yourself. Flee. Flee those things. Draw near to the Lord. I got to stop there. I'll start preaching another sermon, and we got to finish. Because this is just so good and so helpful for us. But flee that and pursue, again, righteousness, faith, love, peace. Those things are all found in Christ. Notice, with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart, and hopefully it's a thing where, again, we're going to stand before the Lord alone, but hopefully it's a thing where we say, let's pursue him together. Let's say collectively, let's be a fellowship that would say, we want to be useful in the master's hands, that he could use us individually and as a church. Not to thumb our nose at someone else and say, oh, look at how good we are, because if we do anything that's good, the crown belongs at his feet, because he's the one that enables us to do it. But hopefully collectively we're saying, listen, we want to be about the business of the Lord. That's where life's found. Where Jesus said, I came to give life and life abundant. Life abundant is found in this house of God, being about the business of the Lord, drawing near to him and saying, Lord, I want you to sow the honorable things into my life. Not this dishonorable stuff that puts you on the cross of Calvary. So, a lot of truth here, and I think practical instruction for us, and hopefully encouragement. And listen, tonight, if you're saying, I want to be a vessel of honor, but you're fixated on your own shortcomings and failures, and you're saying, but I'm just full of dishonor, get your eyes off of you and get them on Jesus Christ. Because I think if you think you're a vessel of honor, if you want to get your eyes on you, you're fooling yourself. Draw near to him. Put the emphasis on Christ. Draw near to him. And it's amazing what he will do for his glory and praise. So Lord, we praise you tonight and we give you glory. We thank you for your word. We thank you for this time in the scriptures, Lord. Just a lot for us to consider here in these few verses. I thank you, Lord, that Jesus, you're the door, so to speak, to this great house. And I thank you that you tell us in your word that whoever will call on your name will be saved, will enter in. You are the door to the sheepfold. And listen, tonight, if you're here and you don't know Christ Jesus, today's the day of salvation. We're all sinners in this room. And you need to understand God is holy. Sin brings death. Sin is rebellion. When Christ isn't our Lord, we're saying we are our own Lord, whether you know it or not. The good news is, though, that Jesus Christ died for our sins. See, God demands justice, and with sin, there's a consequence for it, and it's the wrath of God. But Jesus Christ took the wrath of God that was due every one of us upon himself. That's how much he loves us. He didn't have to, but he chose to. Sin will destroy us and separate us from God forever, but Christ was without sin. So when he was buried in the grave, he conquered sin and death when he resurrected. And tonight he's offering salvation to whoever would call on him. Whoever would repent, which means you turn from being your own Lord, you turn from your way and you say, Jesus, I want to put my faith and trust in you. I want you to be my Lord and Savior and my God. I want you to have rule and reign over my life. He will save you where you are at. That's a glorious thing. Maybe we all know him here tonight, and that's good if we do. I hope we do. But if you don't, listen, today's the day of salvation. You need to call on the Lord. And I would encourage you to do so. I would encourage you to come to him and do business with him, and he'll meet you where you're at. Lord, I would just pray, God, that Lord, we can take this word we've looked at and consider it. And Lord, I pray that we would have hearts that would want to be vessels of honor. We want to be useful in the master's hands. And so, Lord, even just wash us tonight. Wash our feet. Thank you, God, that you do that. And Lord, I just pray, Lord, if there's things we need to even get out of our lives, Lord, that are just dishonorable, that we just need to say, this needs to go, that you would give us the unction, the strength, the courage, God, to do that, Lord. And to say, I'm going to honor the Lord. I'm removing this. I'm removing this. I'm changing this situation. And so we bless you tonight, and we praise you. We thank you for our time here. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.